maturity. 3 long strides brought him to the front door of the cabin. A stealthy peek through the crack showed the danger was 20 yards away at the log corral and lean-to shelter that housed their saddle horses. Rearing on hind legs with front feet pawing the air, Caleb's spotted rump Appaloosa stallion screamed at the standing grizzly, and both animals glared at each other, daring their opponent to attack. Old Ephraim, as the big grizzlies are called by mountain men, was clawing at the top rail, seeking access, and with every attempt at pulling on a log, he roared his defiance and was met with the thundering hooves of the enraged stallion. The glow from the full moon showered the clearing with enough light to show the way to Caleb, as his long strides took him closer to the combat. The stench of the bear was a familiar one to the wilderness dweller, and told of an old bear that had earned his way to maturity and marked his territory far and wide and bullied his way to the top of the food chain. The cacophony of roars and screaming whinnies vibrated the pines that circled the clearing and echoed off the distant mountainside. Pacing at the back of the corral with a frightened look and wide eyes was the mare of Clancy's that had almost identical markings to Caleb's stallion. The throaty rumble that told of her fear was scarcely heard amidst the argument of the two larger opponents that displayed their belligerence of one another. The stallion seemed to be daring the bear to enter his domain, as each attempt of the grizzly to tear at the log corral was met with an attack of sharp, striking hooves. The lightning response of the grizzly had brought blood to the foreleg of the stallion, and as the bear stood to his height of 8 feet, he cocked his head to the side, and with jaws open wide, let loose a roar that would curdle the blood of a lesser foe. The roar was suddenly stifled as the Hawken, in the hands of Caleb, let loose its own roar of assault and spat a .54 caliber ball of lead and belched a cloud of gray-white smoke as he launched his attack in defense of his horses. A puff of dust and a small blossom of red marked the entrance point of the ball on the left chest, just behind the extended left leg of the mountain of silver-tip fur standing before him. The bear swiveled on his hind legs to face the new threat, and with another heart-stopping roar, started a clumsy walk on his hind legs in the direction of the funny-looking creature in red underwear. Frozen in place, Caleb slapped his thigh in a natural move to find his missing bowie knife, then dropped the butt of his hawk into the ground and scratched for his powder horn, pulled the stopper with his teeth, and poured powder down the barrel, reached for his possibles bag without taking his eyes off the bear that had dropped to all fours for a charge. He dug for a ball, neglecting the thought of a patch. Grabbing one, he was startled to hear the roar from another Hawken from the direction of the cabin. The big ball from the surprise shot pierced the neck of the bear, and with a broken neck, the grizzly dropped to a skidding halt just 3 strides from the feet of Caleb. A quick glance at the massive head showed blood coming from the nose, and no sign of life. Turning toward the cabin, he saw his very pregnant wife standing in her nightshirt, with her Hawken to her side and the barrel emitting a thin curl of smoke. The broad smile on her face signaled her relief as she said, "I couldn't let him take you before the baby was born. Now could I?" Shaking his head in wonder at his amazing woman, Caleb trudged back to the cabin with the purpose of getting some clothes on and preparing to take care of the bear carcass. With the horses still nervously pacing the corral, he wasted little time shucking into his buckskins and moccasins, grabbing his Arkansas toothpick, otherwise known as a bowie knife, and returning to the corrals. He fetched his saddle and blanket and halter from the tack shack and made his way to the corral, threw the gear on the top rail, and let himself in with the horses. Talking softly to the horses to reassure them, he reached for the nose of his mount, stroked his head, and with the other hand patting his neck, he slipped the halter over his head and led him outside the corral to the opposite side from the carcass.